This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I'm really glad you all made it back, because last week we talked about count it all joy, and the excitement was palatable. And today I want to keep moving with the book of James. We're going to be all the way through the eighth verse of James. There's not eight chapters in James, but there's eight verses in the first chapter. So I want to read this, and tonight I want to talk about, I really believe, one of the most valuable and important things that you can learn just in terms of receiving from the Lord, and that's receiving wisdom from God. And so this is James. James talks about counting it all joy, but then he rolls right into these verses here. And let's start with verse 4, five. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word and your spirit. We're thankful tonight that we've come. And Father, we've come expecting to learn, to grow, to see, to have things revealed to us. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts are open, our minds are open, our ears are open. I ask that you would give me words to speak, words that bring light and life and health. And Father, we'll give you all the praise for this. We open our hearts now. We believe you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. One of our greatest needs is the idea of wisdom. And you talk about a worthwhile pursuit. Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom. In Proverbs, the fourth chapter, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs. Solomon was considered the wisest man of his day. And in fact, he really was until Jesus showed up. And so Solomon said this in Proverbs 4. He said, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding, cherish her, that's wisdom, and she will exalt you, embrace her, and she will honor you. You ladies all appreciate the fact that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified as female.
Yes.
I said appreciate it, don't run wild with that, okay? Just appreciate it. I like the idea of this. Wisdom is supreme. One translation says, wisdom is supreme, get it. Wisdom means, in this, the ability to apply knowledge and experience with insight, skill, shrewdness, which is intelligence manifested in practicality, to be sharp. Wisdom. There is a significant difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is abounding today. If you didn't know anything, all you have to do is Google it. And you can find a gazillion references to something you're looking up. But there is a difference between knowing something and knowing how to apply it. There is something. Now, in the Bible, I realize that we live in a culture that has always glamorized youth. We've done it for generations. It's nothing new. But in the scriptures, you'll find that God actually honors and calls people to honor elderly people. And one of the reasons you want to honor elderly people is that if the gray head is found in the way of wisdom, it's a righteous thing. I tell you, there's something highly valuable about someone who's older in the Lord, who has walked with the Lord for a long time, who has a lot of wisdom. And if you don't know someone like that, I encourage you to get involved in some of our classes, get involved in some. It's good to have people in our lives who are older than us, who have been there before, who have wisdom and experience, as long as it's godly experience. There are people with some messed up experiences you do not want to learn from. Here's a good rule of thumb. People who have the worst experiences are the quickest to offer advice as to what you should do. It's like, I read some note that says, he said, I refuse to take your advice because I refuse to wind up more messed up than you are. But godly wisdom is valuable, highly valuable, and the ability to apply. And so there's not a one of us in here tonight that could not use some more wisdom in certain areas of our lives. If you're raising children, you need wisdom. If your children have left your home, you need wisdom, because there's a good chance they're coming back. If you're a grandparent, you need wisdom. Listen, if you're still gainfully employed, you need wisdom. If you've been in the oil business, you need a lot of wisdom. We need wisdom. And the great news is, James said that God gives it liberally. Well, that's encouraging. And so as we look at wisdom, understand its skill, it's the ability, its insights, the ability to understand these things. Biblically, this is interesting. Biblically, Solomon, richest man in the world, says that wisdom was more valuable than money. Well, Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Well, just stop and think about that. How many of you, you don't have to have a show of hands. How many of you know somebody that has a problem that money can't solve? See, a lot of times people think, I'm just going to throw money in. If that was the case, wealthy people would always have the happiest marriages, and they don't. And so you think, well, I know a lot of times one of the deceptions of riches is that if I just had enough money, I would be happy. Listen, I'm all for having all the money you can have legally. I think that's a great idea. But I understand, and they've even done studies to understand that after a while, it's not going to make you happy. It can take a lot of pressure off. And I think for the church, we ought to believe God so we can have enough to give and be a blessing. Y'all, would y'all leave me? Where'd you go? And so but wisdom. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Wisdom can solve marital problems that money can never solve. Wisdom can show you what to do with that teenager. And so instead of you going, I'm going to pull my hair out, that child is going to drive me crazy. You might want to stop saying that. And you might want to start saying, thank you, Lord. You know how to deal with this one. Oh, think about positive people. Let's stay on the positive side. I'm not thinking God's going to hurt them. But God knows how to deal. We were, Joey and I were talking one time, and we were praying, and we were praying about our kids. And we have three. And, man, and we're blessed. We got good kids. And we feel very fortunate with that. But they're kids, and sometimes they still do stuff. They're all left our home. But I tell you this. Kids leave your home, they never leave your heart. And people say, oh, I just can't wait till my kids are gone. All the pressure will be off. No, it's just going to get quieter until your phone rings. And then if they're married, they have in-laws. And for those of you who don't have married children, you might want to start praying for your future in-laws right now. Because you don't just marry an individual, you get the whole family, the whole group. They come with it. Some people are crazy. Fortunately, not mine. Who may listen to this tape? So, but here's the thing. We need wisdom. Joy's praying. And she's frustrated. And the Lord spoke to her heart and said, they're not too hard for me. Joy's like, phew, you're right, Lord. They're not too hard for you. The thing is, we need wisdom. And so as you look at situations that we're facing, when all of us face it, so it's valuable. Oh, my goodness, it's valuable. In fact, more valuable even than money. So you say, well, great. Well, how do we get wisdom? Well, let me just tip over a couple of sacred cows here. It is considered correct to ask for wisdom. Now, stay with me here. And just, I'm smiling. You're smiling. We all love each other. But you need to dismiss this idea that the Lord is too busy for your little problem. There is no scripture for that. Or, oh, this is, and I've heard people say this. This is too insignificant for me to bother the Lord about. Now, stop and think about it. Do you really believe that the creator of the universe, the eternal one, the one who is, who was, and is to come, is going to be bothered by your problem? Come on. He's not bothered. The Bible says we have not because we ask not, not because the Lord's too busy or because your problem is too small. The reason I share that with you is because a lot of times I've heard people say that. They've come to me and go, well, Alan, I don't want to pray about that. I don't want to bother the Lord about it. You are not going to bother him. In fact, really what it is it's a sign of humility when you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm bringing this to you. I have told the Lord before, Lord, I know this is not a real big thing, but it's bothering me. Can you help me with this? So you talk to the Lord like that? Yes. He's my Father. He hears me. He hears me when I say in Jesus' name, and he hears me when I regularly talk. So you might as well just talk regular. He hears you. And I've told him, I said, Father, this is not a big deal. I said, but it's bothering me. Could you help me with this? So let's lose that idea. I don't want to ask the Lord. I don't want to bother the Lord. The Lord's not like, he's not like a parent who's too busy. Maybe some of you used to ask your parent, and your parents would say, no, go on, I'm busy, I'm too busy. And after a while, you just got tired of asking. So oftentimes, I think people are tired of asking because maybe they perceive that the Lord doesn't want to deal with them, or maybe that he doesn't love them enough. But if you realize that he loves all of us the same, and that we can come to him at any time and say, Father, this is a little thing, but it's big to me. How many of you know when your little children come to you and they've got little problems? Good parents don't look at them and go, how stupid. You know, they're like, I pulled the head off my Barbie. And they're crying. I pulled the head off my Barbie. I had a headless Barbie. You don't look at them and go, stupid three-year-old. What a stupid thing. Daddy's got problems. You know, I got problems. We got some bills coming up. We got medical bills. We got your braces to deal with later on. Don't talk to me about a headless Barbie. Because you realize, as a parent, that that's important to that child. How many of you know our Heavenly Father is better than we are as parents? And when we bring stuff to him, he'll look and go, ugh. In fact, the Bible said he gives to all generously and without reproach. In other words, he's not going to rebuke you for coming to him for wisdom. He's not going to go, weren't you just here about that? Didn't you just ask me about that? He gives to all liberally, and listen, catch that. Don't miss that, without reproach. So we need to ask. Jesus established that, Matthew 7:7-11. Jesus is speaking. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Then skipping down to verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who... ask him. Is wisdom a good thing? Yes. Will he give you wisdom? Yes, if you ask him. Let me tip over another sacred cow. Well, the Lord knows what I need. So he knows if I need it, and he will give it to me. No. James said, ask. I won't go through the verses. James 4:2. He said, you have not because you ask not. Jesus said, ask. It is very right to come to the Lord and ask. I don't think that's the only thing you ought to do in your prayer life. You ought to stop and say thank you occasionally. In fact, I would encourage that to start with. Just good protocol. Before you run, ask. How about you say, Father, thank you. You've been so good to me. I appreciate that. That's just good manners, right? Come on, guys. Don't you appreciate it? When your children mature to the point where before they come and ask, they go, I need this. They call you and go, hey, how you doing? You know what you're thinking. What you want? But you appreciate the fact that they at least were cordial about it. So the first thing out of their mouth was, hey, I need some help. No, you love it when they go, hey, good, how you doing? My son, my youngest, he's funny. He's like a carbon copy of me. It's scary. Joy looks and laughs. She goes, oh my gosh. She's like, it's like deja vu all over again with you. He is the carbon copy of me. He'll call me like, hey Dad, how you doing? I'm like, good. He's like, how's the church doing? I'm like, okay, great. It's coming. I'm just kind. I don't go, what do you want? But it's going to come out. And because he never listens to my tapes, he's not going to hear this anyway. Just saying. All right. Here's the key, though. When we ask, James said this. James said we need to ask in faith. So let's talk a little bit about that tonight. James 1:5 once again says, if any of you lacks wisdom, this is NIV, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. Ask in faith. We've been talking about that God is good, so we're asking an open-handed God. He gives to all. He's already said He would. So if you need wisdom, you ask God, said, who gives to all liberally and without finding fault. Does that sound like a good deal? If you know that someone says to you, hey, listen, if you ever need anything, all you have to do is ask me. And you know they have it, and you know they are a generous person, it's easier to ask that person, is it not? If you know that's their desire. I talk a lot of times about my dad. My dad was raised old school. He was in the Depression. My dad believed you earned everything. When I would come home, we were raised middle class. He was a business owner. But, man, I hated to ask my dad for money. I hated to do it. Because he never asked. His dad wasn't around. Didn't have a dad to ask. So, you know, if I ever asked for money, I'd get that look like, I never asked for money. Like, yeah. So I would always negotiate with my dad. Dad, can you give me this if I'll do this? Can you give me this if I'll do this? Do you realize that made it difficult for me to ask my Heavenly Father for stuff? Mm-hmm. That's why fathers are so important. They project something. And I love my dad. We don't have issues. I'm not going on Oprah. We're good. Is Oprah still on? Yeah. That's another reason I'm not going on there. She's not on anymore. But anyway, open-handed. He's generous. He's not going to rebuke you. Okay, here's the key. But James said, but when you ask, ask in faith with no doubting. So what's it mean to ask in faith? When you ask, believe. You're going to believe some things. You got to believe that when you ask, that God heard you. The second thing you need to believe is that He has answered you. Now here's why James said, ask in faith with no doubting. If we ask God for wisdom and it just landed on us, boom, just immediately, then we wouldn't need any faith at all. It'd be right there. And sometimes wisdom does come quickly, but sometimes we ask for wisdom and there is a period of time between when we ask and when we actually have in our possession the knowledge of what we need to do, the wisdom for what to do. Everybody understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That we ask and there's a time frame. That's where it gets difficult for all of us. It doesn't have to be, but oftentimes it's where we get difficult. We're like, oh God, I need wisdom. Lord, show me what to do. I don't know what to do. Show me what to do. Amen. And then we walk away, and someone says, what are you going to do? And you go, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I don't know. I don't know, guys. I wish the Lord showed me. I don't know. James said, don't think you're going to receive. Now, hang on to that thought. That's not an unkind thought. It doesn't mean God didn't give. It just means there's a problem on the receiving end. You catch that? Anybody remember? Okay, I'm gonna go old school on you. I first radio I ever listened to was a transistor radio. It was an AM radio. Remember those? Small, fit under your pillow. Hide them from your parents at night. FM came along, or I discovered FM in the 70s. I think that's really what FM took off. Loved FM. We had an FM station in east of the Mississippi. All the stations start with W, not K. And ours was WBIG. WBIG. So WBIG would play in Man at Night. I had a Pioneer Super Tuner and a couple of coaxial speakers. My sound system was actually more valuable than the car I put it in. But you remember how you didn't, some of you in the digital age, just bear with us just for a second. You used to have to turn a tuning dial. Remember the little red thing? So everyone who's laughing now is of a certain age. And we remember that you couldn't digitally tune into 95.7. You had to tune it. I hope that's not a bad... Did I just list a bad station? Is that one going to come back to bite me or what? Okay, let's keep going. You have to tune it. Had to tune it to and you had to tune it right to the frequency. And if you had it off, you wouldn't get it. Right? And if you think that's bad, you should see 8 tracks. Had to ride around the block a few times to hear your favorite song. Okay. Tuning it in, if you didn't tune it to the right place, right frequency, you did not get the station. But you didn't call the station and go, y'all not broadcasting. They'd say, where have you got it tuned to? I'm at 101. Well, you don't need to be at 101. You need to be at 95.7. So you would tune it in, and when you lined it up, you could receive. Those of you from the digital age, you still have to tune it. Even if you have a serious thing, you still got to tune it, I think. Do you do those? Whatever. You got to tune it. So obviously, I don't listen to a lot. But you have to tune it in. But if it's not tuned to the right place, you're not going to get the right station. If you're tuned into the classic rock station and you call them up complaining that they're not playing country, that's not what they do. So you got to tune it to the country station. When we pray and we ask the Lord, say, Father, I need wisdom about this situation with my child. Father, I know you said in your word, here's your promise, you give to all liberally and you will not rebuke me. Father, I ask you in faith. In other words, when I pray, I believe I receive. I thank you for an answer. Amen. Now, when you just said amen, do not be surprised if a lightning bolt doesn't strike or an angel with a flaming scroll doesn't stand before you with a laundry list about what to do. But God can get wisdom to you. The key is we have to stay in believing. So when we pray and we say, Father, thank you, then from then on, what we're doing is, here's one of the best ways to stay in faith, guys. Thank God for what you have not seen yet. Say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? The Lord, I ask the Lord for wisdom. I know He's going to show me what to do. That's a good answer. What are you going to do? Man, your child is messed up. What are you going to do? 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 We're going to have to get away from what I see, what I feel, and we're going to have to go, well, Father, thank you that you're showing me. Well, what if it doesn't happen the next day? What if you don't know the next day? That's where we stay in faith. And we're thanking Him. Jesus said it this way, Mark 11:24, a very classic faith phrase. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. When do we believe we receive them? When we pray. When do we have them? Later. Don't throw that away. Just think about that just a little bit. When do we pray? Father, I believe you heard me. Well, I don't feel like God heard me. Don't forget feelings. I didn't see anything. Nothing happened in the sky. Don't look for anything in the sky. We have a promise. If anyone lacks wisdom, that's me, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He's not going to rebuke you. And it will be what? Given to him. Did God promise to give wisdom? Yes. So when you ask, and you're asking, now I'm not saying, Lord, how do I get rid of my spouse? Lord, show me how I get that. Forget that wisdom. That's not wisdom from God anyway. Did I just ruin some of your night? Hey. I'm asking God for His wisdom. God is a uniter, not a divider. So God, what do I do? There's too much strife in my family. I need wisdom, Lord. And you said you would give me wisdom. And you would give it liberally and without reproach. Father, thank you. I believe I receive wisdom. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now what do you do? Well, now you have prayed. Now you are in the position of being in faith. So now we're just like, every time you stop and think about it, you go, thank you for wisdom. Thank you for wisdom. I'll give you a quick story. Many of you heard this story before. It's one of the more real stories to me. When we went to my hometown and tried to start a church years and years ago, and it didn't work out, I just felt so lost. I was depressed for a while. I was just so down. I'd moved my family. I'd quit a good job. I left the church. We were just floundering. And Joy and I would talk with one another. We'd look at each one another. We'd go, I don't know what I'm doing. What are you doing? I don't know what we're going to do. What are we going to do? We looked all around. We tried to find a place. We could not find where God wanted us to start a church. I was trying to start a church in North Carolina. I couldn't find a place. Every place we looked, And what happens when you don't have wisdom, it's one of the most frustrating experiences in life. Yes. And it seems like you keep walking and the path just keeps getting darker. Yes. I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? So I'm reading my devotions. Thank God. Listen, when you go through a downtime, guys, don't stop reading your Bible. The entrance of His Word gives light. We need light. I'm reading my Bible, and this verse just comes alive to me one morning. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I finally realized I have not been doing this. So I said, Father, thank you. I ask you, Lord, I need to know what to do. I ask you for wisdom. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Went to work. I'm at work. I'm there 5 minutes. The phone rings. A friend of mine picks it up. He said, Alan. It's Greg. I said, hey, Greg. He said, man, I was just thinking about you this morning. Dude, what are you going to do? You've been here a long time. There's nothing going. What are you going to do? I was just about to go. And I stopped. Because I just asked the Lord for wisdom. Right? And if we asked to God, He said He would. And give it. So I said, Greg, I asked the Lord for wisdom. I believe He's going to show me what to do. That would be a good time for Greg to, he's a believer. It would have been a great time for Greg to go, praise God, man, I'm with you. He went, And we got off the phone. And I must have had 3 or 4 people go during the course of the next couple of weeks. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And it's so easy just to slip back into, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And listen, if you're doing that, don't feel ashamed, but let's make an adjustment. Let's tune that dial a little differently. Mm-hmm. Let's tune it different. So this time, the first time I started to tune it different, I started to go, thank you, Lord. I told you, I said, we asked God for wisdom, showed her the promise. She's like, okay, that's where we are. God's going to show us what to do. We have wisdom. Thank you, Lord. We started thanking God for wisdom and thanking Him. 2 weeks went past. Everybody say 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Not 2 minutes, 2 weeks. And during that 2 weeks, I couldn't write out an answer for you any more than I could the moment that I prayed. But when we pray, Jesus said, when you pray, believe you receive them. Thank you, Lord. I believe I receive an answer. Alan, you don't see an answer. That's why I'm believing it. I don't see anything yet. I don't feel anything yet. If I was seeing it and feeling it, I wouldn't have to believe anything. That's a thought. That'll hit you in the truck when you're driving home. He's like, yes, that makes sense. Okay, so we go to church one night. The guy is speaking. And I'll never forget, his name is Dennis. And Dennis was speaking. And Dennis said, you know, sometimes, he said, when you're not getting answers from God, he said, you're asking the wrong question. And like a light bulb just went lit off in me. I went, Eureka. I know exactly what to do. I've been praying, God, show me where to start a church in North Carolina. Show me where to start a church in North Carolina. I knew exactly where I had missed it. I couldn't wait to get out in the car. I said, Lord, do you want us to start a church in North Carolina? The answer, I knew in my heart, the answer was no. And within about 2 weeks, we were working our way toward heading back to Texas. I knew exactly what to do. I did not know, and now I knew. Hey. Thank God for James 1:5. That promise is why you and I are together tonight. That promise is why we're here. Because instead of butting my head up against the wall, going, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm like, Heavenly Father, thank you. You show me what to do. Now listen, I got another question. How many of you have ever bought something online? Don't even raise your hand. I know the answer. Okay. I was online the other day, and I tried to make a purchase, and it went down, so you had to talk to customer service. Isn't it amazing? We don't even want to talk to customer service now because we don't even know if they speak English. And so... I'm sorry, is that just too honest for you? Because those people that don't speak English who are supposed to be in customer service test my Christianity to the very end. But I love them in Jesus' name. Man. Yeah, bless their hearts. Bingo, sister, you got it. So I had to talk to customer service. And I'm talking to customer service, and I said to customer service, I want to get this shirt. I was getting a shirt for my dad for Father's Day. I said, I want to get this shirt. The guy said, okay, we got that in stock. I said, well, I've had a problem with your online service. He said, well, you just give me your credit card over the phone. I didn't know this guy's name was Jeremy. In fact, I asked him, where are you from, Jeremy? He said, Utah. I'm like, great, it's America. I said, Jeremy. Jeremy said, give me your credit card. I didn't know Jeremy. I gave him my credit card number. Then I hung up the phone. You know what I told my wife? I said, I took care of Dad's Father's Day gift. I didn't know that. I just believe that if I talked to Joseph A. Bank and I got a hold of Jeremy and I gave Jeremy my credit card, that Jeremy was going to make sure that my dad got sent a Father's Day present. So when I spoke to Jeremy, I'm good. What am I doing now? I'm expecting a Father's Day. And pretty soon, a few days, I get an email showing that the shirt has shipped to my father. And I put in a tracking and I can track it. And I'm expecting that shirt to show up at my dad's. Are you with me on this? This is the life online. This is what we do. Hey, listen, I believe that God is better than Jeremy. And when I call him up and say, Heavenly Father, I need some wisdom. And he goes, I got that. It's in stock. I got a lot of it. It's in stock. I got it. Say, well, Father, I need wisdom. He said, well, good. He said, you got a credit card? I said, let's just use Jesus' credit card. He's got one. I know that one's good. Good. He said, all right, that card works every time. That's great. Wisdom on its way. What am I doing? Wisdom's on the way. I'm expecting wisdom just like I'm expecting Joseph A. Bank to send that shirt to my dad. Does that make sense? Yeah. When we ask, we believe that God. There's a promise there, guys. When we ask, we believe that God hears us, that he answers us. And then we just stay believing when we don't see it and feel it. And that's where the fight of faith comes in. What do we do when we don't see? What do we do? But just make sure you ask. We got to start with asking. A lot of times people are like, well, I don't know what to do. Have you stopped and asked God for his wisdom? You got to start there. And let's believe that he'll be good to you and that he will give wisdom to you. I had a little bit more for that, but y'all listened so well, we're done. Is that okay? Did I help anybody tonight? Did that make sense? Okay. Now, for those of you that are fairly new, you do not need Jesus' credit card when you pray. You really don't. But we don't pray in our own name. We pray in his. And we come under his authority because we're his children. And that's an instant access. And God loves you, and he loves you as much as he loves me, as much as he loves Joy or anyone. And so we have the ability to go to him and pray and ask and receive. He gives wisdom. I may take up a little bit of this. At this rate, we will be through the book of James by next year. We won't do the whole book, but I'll just allow the Lord to lead us, and we'll cherry pick some of those highlights. Will you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Father, we're grateful for your wisdom and grateful for the relationship that we have with you. So thankful. Thankful that you're generous to us. You are open-handed and you never rebuke us or demean us or ridicule us. Thank you. So, Father, we thank you for there are many in here tonight who need wisdom. Father, teach us how. We'll step out in faith. Lord, I know you will meet us right there. Father, we'll give you something to work with. We will ask, and we will thank you for an answer, and then we'll expect to see it. Thank you for that. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here tonight and said, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've never asked him to be my Savior. Or maybe you were raised in church, maybe not. Maybe you had made a decision and you've gotten away from God and you're sitting to yourself going, man, I don't feel like I'm right with God, not like I need to be. And I want to come back. Well, we're going to pray. And so as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're not going to ask that you stand up or come to the front. But if that's you that I'm talking to tonight, and you say, Alan, I would really love to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Or Alan, I really want to come back to him. Would you pray for me? We're going to do that. Would you slip your hand up across the crowd and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. We're not going to embarrass you. Thank you, hon. Thank you for your courage. Great. Anybody else? All right. Let's do this. Let's pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You really wanted to. But you can pray this prayer with us from the heart. The Bible said with the heart one believes and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So we believe with our heart. So let's pray this out loud. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.